Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time to play out loud. It's the Tony Lane Show.
Edition of the Tony Lane Show. It is the truly fabulous Tony Lane. Maris will be joining us in just a few seconds as we welcome you to episode 351 of the Tony Lane Show. And of course, reminding you to log on to TonyLaneShow.com, blogtalkradio.com/Tony Lane Show, and of course, subscribe to the show in iTunes and on Google Play. Just simply click on the subscribe button, and then, like magic, as new episodes are published, they will automatically go to the device of your choice, like magic, and it is totally free of charge. A wonderful thing, very easy to do, to be a part of the greatest podcast in existence today, The Tony Lane Show. I mean, we're going to be like, yeah, boy. We're going to put a big, gigantic clock, just like the greatest hype man in the business, Flavor Flav from Public Enemy. I mean, it's going to be, like, so hype. It's crazy. I mean, as much as you may enjoy the Tony Lane Show or any podcast or any thing that you listen to or enjoy to watch, To come out and just be like it's the greatest thing of all time, we all know it can be a bit of hype, basically. It's hype. And potentially one of the most hyped up fights of all time just took place this past weekend as we had the Conor McGregor, Floyd Money Mayweather fight. The so-called fight of the century. Did it live up to the hype? Well, we all know now Floyd Money Mayweather did retain his undefeated streak. I don't think his belt was on the line, even though I remember he was carrying the belt. But he is still undefeated, now having surpassed the unbelievable undefeated record of one Rocky Marciano. And he is the only 50-0 fighter in the history of professional boxing. Floyd Money Mayweather has totally defeated Conor McGregor, and he stands alone at the top of the mountain. Now, Floyd fought the opponents that he was given. He fought the people that were there. I mean, some will argue that maybe the crop of fighters that he had maybe were not as strong as fighters of a previous generation, but he fought who was there, and he beat them all. You know, he may have had one of the more boring styles, but he did what he had to do. He went a perfect 50-0. That is not easy to do. To have 50 professional fights and Never Lose is one of the most amazing feats and accomplishments that I think that anybody has done in professional sports. Whether you're a fan of Floyd Mayweather or not, I think it is really a testament to just how good he is as a professional fighter. And certainly, if nothing else, just like Flavor Flav, with all the yeah boy and the big clock and being the great hype man that Flavor Flav was for Public Enemy, and you say the same thing for both of these guys, because McGregor did a very good job of hyping this fight up as well. And, you know, McGregor certainly knows how to talk a good fight and certainly knows how to get the people into the room. If it was a wrestling match, you know, we cover wrestling quite often on this show. And McGregor, at least from the reaction of the crowd, as far as from what I heard, now I didn't actually see the fight. I'm sure, and Maris will be joining us in just a few seconds. I'm sure she probably watched the fight. I did not watch the fight. But I will say that I think that Floyd was clearly the heel, as he is the heel most of the time. And from what I understand, his reaction was very negative, which is no surprise, because people, most of the time, they pay to watch him lose. He's been the greatest heel in the history of the game. But a lot of great boxers would be considered what we call heels in professional wrestling. I mean, even the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali, was booed several times as people wanted to see Ali lose and were disappointed more times than not. But here, with Floyd Money Mayweather, what's truly remarkable is the fact that he's never lost. They've booed, they've wished and hoped on 50 occasions that 48 different men on 50 occasions would finally shut him up, beat him, defeat him, and it never happened. And now, once again, because of a 10th round TKO, Floyd Money Mayweather is still undefeated, 50-0, and he claims this is it. Now, he said this was it a couple of years ago when he finally retired, then, the original time. And, you know, he at that point, he tied the record with Rocky Marciano at 49-0. Now he surpassed it. Only 50-0 undefeated boxing champion in the history of the game. So you got to give him props where props are due. Now, let's talk about all the ridiculousness of it. I mean, it was billed with all the hype as the fight of the century. The greatest fight. It was certainly the most hyped fight of the century. And since we're only 17 years into the century, I guess maybe it is, well, it was certainly the most hyped fight, I would say, in the last 17 years. Maybe Pacquiao and Mayweather was also very well hyped, which is also pretty remarkable that the top two, at least in terms of hype and in terms of box office and just overall success, Mayweather was a part of that. And now when you look at this, he's pretty much done it all. There's nothing else to prove. I mean, I guess if he fights again, it's going to be strictly for money. And they did say he had a guaranteed $100 million after he gets his piece of the pay-per-view and his piece of the house and all that. They estimate he could get close to $300 million off of this fight. And Conor McGregor, after all said and done with, could get between $75 and $100 million. So both men have made off tremendously. I mean, this is like life-changing money, especially for McGregor. McGregor was already a big multimillionaire, but, I mean, he's never made this kind of money fighting in the UFC. And now, this huge money, huge payday that he got, Floyd, once again, has broke the box office and has made a tremendous payday off of this this fight. And, I mean, my question is, really, did it live up to the hype? Now, I didn't really watch the fight, so it's kind of hard for me to judge whether or not it lived up to the hype. But from most of the pundits and the talking heads that I've heard discussing the fight, most people have said that it was pretty enjoyable. And for the most part, it was more entertaining than they had anticipated. Most people did not think that this fight would be entertaining at all. You know, we thought it was going to be somewhat farcical because you had a guy who's never had a professional boxing match going against a guy who at that point was 49-0, and now, of course, he is a perfect, you know. And Maris.
Hello.
What's going on?
How you doing?
How are you?
That was some heck of a fight last night.
And I knew you watched it. And
oh, my God.
What I was saying is that I didn't actually watch it and really wanted your perspective from someone who actually saw it.
Can I tell you, like, it really literally was an emotional, like, roller coaster for me. Because, it had built up so much to the point that I wanted Mayweather to just knock McGregor out that, like, I almost couldn't watch the first few rounds for fear that Mayweather might get knocked out, that, like, McGregor might get lucky and, like, knock him out and be like, and I'd be like, I would have been emotionally devastated at that point. Like, I was fully 100% invested in Mayweather.
Now, you know, and I said this before you came on, that I think overall, at least from what I hear, you know, using wrestling jargon, Floyd, at least from the reaction of the crowd, was clearly the heel and McGregor was the babyface.
Oh, absolutely. They booed the shit out of him when he came out, which, you know what, that's fine. He's played the heel for a long time, but, I mean, he was absolutely 100% the if you want to use pro wrestling jargon, he was the heel, 100%.
Right. And as you said, in most cases, he was. I mean,
yes,
50 fights, 48 different opponents, and majority of the time, he's the person that you want to see lose.
Yes. Now, you also have to look at it this way, though. If you were looking at betting, McGregor was the underdog by, like, I think 4-1, I want to say.
I know, just from a money standpoint, I would have bet on McGregor myself because it was almost like a damn lottery ticket. If he would have won that fucking fight,
Shit
would have paid like hell.
Oh, absolutely. He literally was, I think I checked right before the fight started, maybe 10 to 15 minutes before, and McGregor was up to a 4-1, you know, odds were in favor of Mayweather winning. So if you put money on McGregor and he won, you were getting a 4-time payout.
Right.
So it's like, you know, but...
And the opposite, if you bet on McGregor, like, you would have to bet $400 just to get $100 betting on...
On Mayweather, yes. Betting on Mayweather.
Right.
So, I mean, those were some crazy stats, but, man, it was something. I usually don't get too emotionally invested in fights, but, like, I desperately wanted him to win this match.
And, you know, I opened the show talking about all of the hype and like, even mentioned Flavor Flav from Public Enemy and how he was arguably the greatest hype man for Public Enemy back in the day.
Yeah, he was.
But did it live up to the hype? I mean, from what I hear, people did say it was a hell of a lot more entertaining than they had anticipated, but do you think it truly lived up to the hype?
No, not for $100.
Right.
I'm just going to be honest with you. Not for $100, no.
Cheap, right.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good fight. He did a lot better than what I thought he was going to. I thought Mayweather was going to pick him apart. And Mayweather eventually did pick him apart. But, again, McGregor put up a decent fight. He lasted a lot longer than I thought he would. But still, it's like, not for $100. Good of a fight.
Round 10, he gets the TKO, and you know, I just saw the clip on ESPN or whatever it was, and to me it didn't seem premature. I mean, you had some people crying that it was premature, but it looked like a good stoppage in my opinion.
He was on his way out. His legs were gone at that point. I mean, the accumulation had gotten to him, and like, Mayweather can accumulate and knock people out with 10-ounce gloves, and they were wearing 8-ounce gloves. So it's like, you know. But, I mean, it was decent, but not $100.
Now, do you think he actually, rope-a-doped him? Because I heard he punched himself out, and...
No, he didn't rope-a-dope them. They barely were on the ropes.
But he was punched out, though, basically.
Oh, absolutely he was punched out. He's not a boxer. It's like, and if you watch, let's be honest about Conor McGregor. One, he's never defended any of his championship belts after winning them. So there's a problem right there. Right. Two, you can see in all of his fights that once he hits a certain level, once he hits a certain, you know, a certain time period, his cardio's gone. He can't hold up.
Right. And
he's not that good. His mouth is good. He's a good talk machine.
Right. He's very good at hyping the fights.
Yes.
He's
the Paul Heyman of himself.
Now, the total fight, you know, round-wise, from what I understand, was 32-minute, 33-minute, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
Much longer than any UFC fight would be, because even a championship fight at the max is 25 minutes.
Yes, absolutely.
So he's never been in a combat sports situation over that 30-minute mark. And he was probably very much gassed. Now, do you think it was a mistake also the fact that they said that he did not get a specific boxing trainer? He basically was trained by the same people who do his MMA fights.
He still gasses. Doesn't matter. He doesn't have the cardio, period.
I mean, how would you, go up? Is it just this... bravado of a McGregor, where you would go to face a man who is 49-0 and not do anything different, just try and do what you've always been doing and think that's going to be enough to beat a man that's 49-0?
Yes, he is on his own hype train. He is riding that hype, his own hype train hard.
Now, I heard Mayweather actually fought a different style.
100% different. I was like, what the hell? That's why I was so nervous in the first few rounds, because I'm like, what in the hell is he doing?
Right.
It was one of those things where I was like, I've never seen him box like that. And let's face it, Mayweather is the best in the ring that's alive right now and, you know, in shape and could put on a boxing match. Like, he is the best. There's no, I may not totally 100% like him, but it's the truth. He is the best. So, you know, it's to see him change, like a 180 change. Like, he wasn't dancing as much. It was very, very different.
Now, for him to stand alone now at the 50-0 mark, only undefeated boxing champion in the history of the game, that at 50-0, I'm sorry, Rocky Marciano 49-0, but I mean, he's certainly first ballot Hall of Famer. He's certainly a guy that is going to go down as one of the all-time greats. And, you know, as I mentioned before you came on, that he basically fought the people that were there. You know,
yes.
It may not be the greats of the prior generations, like the Ray Leonards and the Tommy Hearns and the Marvin Hagler's, but he fought who was there, and he beat them all.
Yes, he did. Listen, sometimes you get a generation that's full of great boxers. Sometimes you get just a couple that are the good ones in that group. I mean, he fought every person he could.
Right.
Not like he hasn't fought people. He's 50-0. So, you know, he put his time in and things like that. He did what he needed to do. And he fought everyone that was presented to him. So, I mean, for this generation, he really is the best.
Now, when they look at the all-time list, I mean, obviously the 50-0 record is very impressive. You know, no one's ever done it. But do you think because he didn't have a Ray Leonard or Hearns or Hagler or Duran or any of those greats from a prior generation that people will look at him as, you know, he was good, but that's only because he didn't have that level of fighter to fight?
No. No, Mayweather's too good. You can see when you watch him in the ring. You just, when you look at someone, if you've been watching boxing long enough, like I've been watching it since I was a kid, it's like you know when you're looking at someone that has like perfected it and knows what they're doing, and just the way they move and how they roll and everything like that. It's like Mayweather is perfect at it. And even though, like, I can't tell you how many times I've admitted, you know, wanting him to be knocked out in many, many fights of his over the years, but I always have to compliment him on his work. He is absolute perfection in the ring. So it's something you can see just by the way the person moves and does things. It's not just a really a record type thing.
And 50-0, I mean, that's very difficult in any professional sport to pull that off. I mean, you know, it's unprecedented.
Yeah, you and just a little side note, Mayweather actually did a charity basketball game today.
Oh, really?
Yes, he did.
Did
a
he play?
Yes, he was on the team. He played.
Well,
the day after a fight.
Well, I was wondering, was he taking it really that serious? But they said he spent a lot of nights leading up to the fight. Well, every night pretty much leading up to the fight at a strip club that he owns. And he pretty much stayed at the strip club till 4 o'clock in the morning every night and was just hanging out and really, I guess, taking it as easy as he could rather than really getting all excited about the fight. And it was funny because I heard one of the interviews, he was saying McGregor was still probably trying to make the weight, which is true.
Probably. I mean, here's the thing, though. Think about it. Think of how seasoned Floyd Mayweather is. He always has a saying, he usually says, the work is done, which it is, 49 times already. It's not like, and he's a gym rat. If he's not at the club he owns or out shopping or doing his thing, he's in the gym working out, boxing. It's like that's his life. He doesn't know anything different. So, like, yeah, he already did the work. He's good. He doesn't need to do – he just needs to keep himself relatively in shape. And he already does that as a lifestyle. So the work is done.
Right, and that was a point that a lot of the people leading up to the fight were saying, is that Floyd, he is always in shape. He
yes.
is always pretty much within a pound or two of his fighting weight.
Yes.
So
it's
he
like
doesn't have
see...
to do a drastic weight cut like what
no.
he would have to do to make that 155 pounds.
Yeah, no. Like, there's people that blow up in between fights. Like, I remember Ricky Hatton, I think, fought at 145, was it? Or 155, and at one point in between matches, he had blown up to over 200 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, you can't do that, but a lot of them do. A
right.
lot of them do. It that is so bad. And it's like, he did it right. I mean, he still has his speed. He's always in good shape. He played a basketball game today, so he must be feeling pretty good, and, you know, it's not too taxing. It's like he's like the sportsman. Sportsman is the sport. He is boxing. He's what a boxer should be.
Now, Conor, on the other hand, is doing the drastic weight cut, which is something that
yes.
they do commonly in MMA.
They do it commonly in boxing, too. I can't tell you how many times I've seen boxers come in looking like skeletons to make weight.
But I think they do it a hell of a lot worse in MMA.
They do it a hell of a lot worse in MMA, yes, but it does happen in boxing. Any of those sports where you have weight classes, there are people coming in literally malnourished and underweight to try and hit those goals. It's not good.
Right. And I mean, I think the way that these guys do it, especially to try and get more of an advantage for the fight, they try and cut too much weight, and then when they try and rehydrate,
it's just not enough.
Yeah, and it's totally not a healthy thing.
Even though that they, you know, they used to not give them 24 hours in between the weigh-in and the fight. Like, the weigh-in was in the morning, the fight was that night. Now the weigh-in's a full 24 hours or like 26 or 28 hours before the fight. So
right.
they have 24 hours to recover, because I can't imagine how tired and worn out they were when it was the weigh-in in the morning and the fight that night. Could you imagine?
Yeah, trying to rehydrate and all that stuff within hours.
Yeah, I can only imagine how bad they feel on those days. Never mind like having to fight that. It's I could not.
Yeah, I was listening to Michael Bisping's radio show, and he was saying how, you know, a lot of times when they do that, they just feel like shit because they've done such damage, I would imagine, to their bodies. You know, cutting the weight and then trying to add it back, you know,
mm-hmm.
in just a few hours. It's certainly not a wise thing to do, but I mean, it is something that they've been doing for quite some time. And
they are trying to take measures against it now, because there have been people that have fainted, blacked out, had seizures, heart attacks.
Right.
Like, they are starting to take it very seriously there, and more individuals are starting to fight at closer to their normal weight.
Which I think they should do. I mean,
oh, absolutely. I think they should. I don't think you should have someone dropping 30, 40 pounds in water weight and, like, sucking themselves dry to hit, like, say, like a 135 or 145, and then 24 hours later they come in 165, 170. It's like, dude, that's not your weight class then.
Right.
You should be fighting the 170 pounders if that's what you weigh.
But then they wouldn't have that advantage.
The power. Yeah,
right.
I know.
That's what they want, is that advantage.
Yeah.
But at least these guys did it on the up and up. Can't really say that now for my man John Jones. Once again, caught for steroids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we thought this was it. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, had a very successful fight against Daniel Cormier, won his title back, you know, rave reviews for the pay-per-view, that it was overall a very strong pay-per-view for UFC, probably the strongest they've had this year. And he talked a lot of shit, including saying that he basically beat him fair, and now we find out he didn't.
Nope. I felt horrible for Cormier that night. Like, I felt so bad for Cormier. Because I don't like John Jones. And Cormier was a champion's champion. He did wonders for that. He is a shining specimen of what a real champion should be.
Now, John Jones could arguably have gone down as one of the greatest of all time, but now he's also probably the most self-destructive champion of all time.
Yes.
I mean, because every time he takes a step, he takes two steps back mm-hmm. because of something he does himself. Like, it's not yep. other people doing the shit to him.
No, it's not like he was forced to do steroids.
Right.
It's like, you know.
Or whatever else yeah. you know, he got busted for in the past. Every time, it's him. Over and over with the same shit.
Yep.
It's like, and now, this time, because he's a multiple-time offender, it's possible that he may not be able to fight for several years. They're talking possibly 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, I think it's a minimum of 4 year suspension for the second offense. And he's already in his mid-30s. I mean, I'm not saying that he's super old. Like, Cormier's 38, and he's still fantastic, and he's still in fantastic shape. But, you know, that is in those years getting up there, especially when you're fighting 20-year-olds, like young bucks.
Right.
You know, so 4 years for someone in their 30s, that could very well be career-ending.
True. I mean, we know professional fights it's a young man's game.
It is. Now, let me throw this conspiracy theory at you, because I know you might enjoy this. So here's what I think is going to happen. I think John Jones is going to be like, whatever, suspend me, you know, do your thing. And I think he's going to sign with the WWE.
Do you think they would sign him after a failed drug test?
Brock Lesnar failed his drug test.
Well, Brock Lesnar is part-time, and they don't have to be tested for drugs.
John Jones can be part-time, too. He called Brock Lesnar out. That's money. You know McMahon, the second he heard that, he was thinking, all right, how can I make money off this? And if John Jones can't fight in the UFC, and you know he wants money, it's like...
But in a worked WWF or WWE match versus
mm-hmm.
a real actual
yeah.
combat sport. I mean,
yeah, I think so. I think he'd do it.
But would that have the same appeal? I mean, having Lesnar versus Jones in a worked match versus a real shoot fight would, you know, from a box office standpoint, like, do you think that's really going to be a big crossover box office thing?
I mean, that unfortunately would remain to be seen, but I think, like,
I mean, you can have him shot. Maybe as a special referee or something like that, like they did with Mike Tyson with Austin and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 14. You know, they bought Tyson in as the referee, and that helped the pay-per-view. I mean, it was a huge success from a pay-per-view standpoint. But, I mean, Austin was gaining momentum, and that was really his crowning moment when he won the title. And you know, the combination of that and the DX thing was hot at the time, and the whole Montreal screw job had just happened. So it was a lot of interest, you know, and Shawn Michaels as a result of that. And then you threw in Mike Tyson, and it was just the perfect storm. Everything just came together, and it was a box office success. But would you be able to do something like that with a John Jones?
Hmm. You know, I don't know. I think it would be better suited for a one-on-one match, even if it's at, say, like WrestleMania or something like that, like a one-off type thing. Let the whole steroid thing blow over. And then, because face it, they're just testing the B sample now. The A sample came out positive, so they have to test the B sample. And then if that comes out positive, then, you know, they would go through everything. But it's still early enough that people forget by WrestleMania.
I mean, that would mean that Roman Reigns doesn't get his title shot at WrestleMania.
Wah. Wah.
I'm sure Big Man is not going to have that.
Oh, whatever. I think that, or they do something in the storyline where Brock loses it, and I don't know, they John something with John Jones, or here's a good one. John Jones can special ref a fight on another big pay-per-view between Brock Lesnar and, say, Roman Reigns for the title. John Jones screws Brock Lesnar over, fast three count, whatever you want to say or do, and Roman Reigns gets the title, and then it's a match between John Jones and Brock Lesnar for WrestleMania as, like, a revenge match. That's money right there.
In a professional wrestling match or MMA?
A professional wrestling match.
Actual wrestling, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I wonder how would that go, though. But again, John Jones is a very good athlete, too. And by the way, John Jones is only 30. So he'll
yes,
still be
I know.
Pretty young.
Yes.
4 years from now. I mean, you know, he'll still be 34, so. That is going to hurt him, though. Because, I mean, when Ali got suspended from boxing, I think he was only in his 20s at the time.
He was, but they suspended him for a couple of years, and it's like, that was rough.
Right. And it took a lot out of, like, some people argue that those years that he was suspended were
his
could
best
have been
years.
Were some of his best years, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they were.
Yeah, and now, completely different set of circumstances. Obviously, it was not because of failed drug tests, as in the case of John Jones, but still taking a fighter out of the fight game in the prime of their career, not good.
No, not good at all.
So that's a story that's still developing as we speak, and obviously more information we get, we'll discuss it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, trust me, I'll be watching it, because I'm, like I said, I felt horrible for Cormier. Horrible for Cormier. Like, I think Cormier was a great champion. I really do. And it's like, to have him come fight him, Cormier was, like, devastated. He was crying his eyes out. And, like, you know, Cormier's in his head thinking he won fair and square. He wasn't good enough, stuff like that. And then you find out he's doped up again. And it's like, really?
Yeah. This guy just never learned.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, I just feel terrible for Cormier.
Now, on to WWE. Speaking of Roman Reigns, I'm wondering, does, like, Alpha have, like, some shit on McMahon where he's, like, blackmailing him so he can put his son over as the main event? Because for whatever reason, he just seems hell-bent on making
he wants
Roman
to
Reigns
shove him,
like, the guy.
He wants to shove him down our throat.
So much, in fact, that John Cena... Now, who is a free agent, mind you. And since his free agent status has gone in effect, he was pretty much on SmackDown since he came back until this past Monday, when he popped up on Monday Night Raw and teamed up with said Roman Reigns versus Intercontinental Champion The Miz and
Miz Entourage.
John Smojo and main event of Raw. And from what I hear, the reason why they moved John Cena to Raw is so he can put over Roman Reigns. Like, what? Everything seems to be about Roman Reigns.
I mean, he's nice to look at. I'll continue to say it. He's nice to look at. That's about it. He's nice to look at.
But I mean, that's the plan. They want John Cena to help put Roman Reigns over so that WrestleMania comes along and Roman Reigns is going to be the guy to defeat Brock Lesnar. Even though the fans clearly are behind
Roman Reigns.
Braun Strowman of all people.
I like Braun Strowman. I like Samoa Joe. Like, they're both fine. I'm down with both of them.
And the fans like both of them.
Yes.
It would really not mind if either one of them beat Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. Yet, Roman Reigns, they're still trying to force Roman Reigns as the top guy. I mean, I don't get it. I've never seen anything like this in my life where they've, you know, and we're talking 3 decades of watching professional wrestling.
I've never seen them try this much stuff either with someone. So something must be up, or they must really like them.
But usually they would have somebody and they would, you know, if it fails, I mean, we know like with Hulk Hogan, they kept trying to make the next Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
You know, Ultimate Warrior, they really tried to push him as a Hulk Hogan, you know, even Luger with that stupid American hero gimmick.
Yeah.
And even Sid Vicious, when they repackaged him as Sid Justice, they were trying to make him like a hero.
I can't, like the names back then, it's like, oh, they would repackage someone. It's like, why?
And he didn't get over in WWE until they made him Psycho Sid.
Yeah, no, he said Justice. I don't even want to go there with that.
And I never could even call him Sid Justice because
I couldn't either. He said,
right, he was Sid Vicious. Like when I watched him in the NWA, he was Sid Vicious. And then they bring him in all of a sudden, and he's Sid Justice. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yes, Sid Justice.
But I did like the whole Psycho Sid thing, and I told you I love the match with him and Shawn Michaels, when Shawn beats him for the title at the Royal Rumble, the 97 Royal Rumble. One of my favorite matches. Really great storytelling, and one of the few times that I really thought Sid did a good job. And, you know.
One of the few times. Oh, shit.
You know, when he's not falling wrong and, you know, breaking his fucking leg in the process. But
holy shit. Only Sid.
Exactly. Or fuck it up a promo.
Oh my God, he used to fuck him up all the time.
But he told the NWO or something that I got half the brain that you guys have. So he said it backwards, like he was supposed to say they have half the brain too.
He did have half a brain. You kidding?
I'm making myself laugh. Sorry. But yeah, that was a pretty funny thing. But none of that stuff worked. Like the next big face of the company, you know, even though Bret Hart and Shawn had their moments and they tried to force, you know, Kevin Nash with his whole diesel gimmick down our throat, but none of that stuff really worked. I mean, if you really look at it, especially from a box office standpoint, business was down big time after Hulk Hogan left. In particular, that year that Kevin Nash was the champion in 1995, business was way down.
Oh, business was doing horrible back then.
It was one of the worst years in the history of WWE. And then even under Bret and Shawn, they were barely getting by. They were getting by, but it wasn't
It wasn't the moneymaker like they were
like
previous. Yes.
Right. And it wasn't until Austin came that they started shattering box office records again. And Austin was the total opposite from Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. But it's like, it's great. That's why it's the Attitude Era. It's like he was a sign of the times.
Right. And then The Rock came, you know, shortly after that. You know, there was some overlap between Austin and The Rock, and business was through the roof.
Booming.
You know, they beat every box office record that Hogan and stuff had set back in the Rock and Wrestling days, and the Attitude Era really, you know, solidified WWE as a big product in pop culture. But then from there,
it kind of went down again.
Went down again. And then, you know, John Cena.
Yeah. And you have your Cena rapper phase, which.
Different from both Austin and The Rock.
Yes.
But still did very good business wise.
Yes.
You know, it kept, you know, as much as we may dislike him, you know, there's a lot of things to hate about him, but there's a lot of things to like and respect him, you know, the fact that he is. You know, as dedicated as he has been for all the years and his work ethic and him being a true leader in the locker room. And he was a draw or is a draw. And they made pretty good money with John Cena on top. But now to find the successor to John Cena, Roman Reigns is clearly not the guy.
No, not at all.
And
not
I don't
even
know
close.
Why they keep trying. I mean, usually when they try and it's clear that this is not the guy, they move on.
But here's the thing, like, even using Cena to try and get him over is not going to get him over. Like, it's not going to work. We know this.
Right.
So I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. Because, like, Cena, let's face it, I whether he puts someone over or not, like, doesn't mean I like the person or anything like that. Sometimes I don't even think it helps people's careers to be in matches against Cena. But, like, you know, but to try to use Cena to get Roman Reigns over, it's like that's not going to work. It's not going to work.
And look at
and you
all
can see,
of...
You can see this coming a mile away. This is a problem.
Right, and look at all of the things they've done with Roman Reigns so far. I mean, he's already won, what, three world
three Universal
championships.
Universal titles, or, yeah.
He's won the Royal Rumble already. He's fucking... he beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the things that would put you in that upper echelon in terms of accomplishments, he's done.
Yeah,
he's still not old. Exactly.
Yes. Get the picture.
So it's like, what more do you have to do?
Does like a meteor or asteroid need to like come out of space and whack you upside your head to knock some sense into you? Like, really?
Right. Right. I just don't get it. But, I mean, right now, he's still the guy that they want to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania and to eventually take the Universal title. So we'll see. That changes.
I hope so too. It's like I said, he's nice to look at, but I mean, enough already. He's not over. Turn him into a heel and get done with it. And then he'll be popular.
Right. Right. That actually might work.
He needs to do a heel turn. Then he'll be popular.
Right. Right, because that has helped.
He needs to beat up Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, like backstage or something, if they're, you know, on the night that they have like a tag team fight together or something like that.
Well, they are your new Raw Tag Team Champions.
Well, no, I know that, but he needs to like beat them up and incapacitate them or something like that. Needs a good heel flip.
Now, on the SmackDown side, we did see the couple of NXT call-ups. Well, one NXT call-up, the other one is speculation. But we saw only days after dropping the NXT championship at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3, we saw the glorious one, Bobby Roode, make his SmackDown debut, and it was truly glorious.
The glorious one.
Now, the fact that they were still in Brooklyn, you know, they did all the TVs in Brooklyn this past week, but Bobby Roode was over big time. I mean, and he got a face pop, even though he's supposed to be a heel.
But it's Brooklyn.
Right. So that you don't know what kind of reaction you're going to get in other places. But the song is so over. People are always singing the fucking song, the glorious song. And the entrance is off the hook. I mean, you know, a lot of people were testing 2K18 or got to play an early build of it at the SummerSlam weekend. They did a big 2K event there. And one thing that everybody who's played the game keeps saying is the Bobby Roode entrance is glorious, even in the game. And it's awesome, of course, in real life. So I think Bobby Roode, you know, Bobby Roode, he's 40. So, you know, he's up there. But, you know, we've seen in wrestling that you can probably get another good 3-4 years out of
him. I
would say, though, but you got to fast track his main event run. I would say this guy should be in the main event. Like, you know, he doesn't have the time to wait a year, but you've got to push him in the main event immediately.
Right.
Yeah, he's got to go. It's got to be one of those things where you hit the ground running.
Right. Maximize the time that you have with him, push him, you know, while you got him, and then have him be somebody that can help put younger talent over as well down the line. Mm-hmm. But solidify him as a main event player first.
Yeah.
And
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I mean, of course, he came out unexpectedly defeating the former vaudevillian Aiden English there in his SmackDown debut. Also, finally, we have the return of Shelton Benjamin. And they're saying that Shelton Benjamin's going to team up with Chad Gable, you know, the former American Alpha team member. So the trade with Raw by sending quote-unquote Kurt Angle's son, Jason Jordan, to Raw. And that whole thing is really not getting over. It's splitting up American Alpha, who was actually a very good tag team.
Yes.
Now, to throw Shelton Benjamin in a team with Chad Gable, that is just really... So I don't know what the fuck they're thinking there. But I'm glad Shelton Benjamin's back.
Yeah, I am too, but, like, I don't think that's a good idea. Whatever. We'll see. We'll see. I don't think it's a good idea, though, but do we know, right?
Right.
Yeah, what do we know?
And then, of course, we know, and like we said, we don't do spoilers really on the show, but this WWE put this shit on WWE.com and on the app. So obviously it's out. But at the NXT tapings, Asuka relinquished the NXT Women's Championship and is going to pursue other interests within the WWE. So in other words, she's going to the main roster.
Yeah.
And they just had her give up the Women's Championship and stay undefeated and just move on to Raw or SmackDown. They haven't said which brand she's going to go to yet. And her reign is still in effect until the episode plays on television. So whenever the hell that episode plays. But, you know, they've already spoiled it, so it's not like we're spoiling it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they had to, because if they didn't say something, it, you know, be all over Twitter anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, they might as well break the news before anybody else does.
Right. So that's totally different. Because remember last week we were discussing how she defeated Ember Moon at the TakeOver Brooklyn 3 special, and now what was next for her? So now I guess we found out.
Right.
Rather than them, you know, we had speculated that perhaps, you know, whoever comes out of the Mae Young Classic, which will debut this upcoming week on WWE Network, at least the first four episodes, But we had speculated that perhaps whoever wins that would be the individual that would eventually break the streak and win the championship from her. Now we see that is not the case. But who knows? Whoever wins the tournament could end up winning the belt anyway. Because maybe they might make the finals of the Mae Young Classic now for the NXT Women's Championship.
They could.
You know, they did that with the Cruiserweight Classic last year.
Yes, they did.
They did the tournament, and then they waited until the finals to say, oh, by the way, whoever wins this match is going to be the first Cruiserweight champion.
Yeah.
You know, so it is very possible that they may pull that again, which I think would be kind of fucked up to the women who have been in NXT.
Yeah.
You know, like Peyton Royce and Ember Moon
It would need to be a new belt or a different belt that's not already occupied. Or has people that have been working towards it for a while that should get it before someone from just some contest that the other people weren't even able to be involved in.
Right. That's what I think. They really just need to somehow figure out a way to give them a title match. I would love to see Peyton Royce win the belt because she's another Australian hottie. I mean, like, these Australian girls, they're just, like, so hot.
Well, the guys aren't too bad either.
But let her win the title or something, or maybe even... See, I think if you put the belt on Ember Moon, it would seem kind of like, well, you couldn't beat the real champion, she wouldn't have much credibility
Not unless someone, you know, she has like a really epic match against someone and for like the, you know, for the title, it's the interim whatever match for the vacant title. And then she just looks really good in it, you know, but you're right. She never actually beat her, so to speak. So is she really the champ?
Right. I mean, it would have to be like a heel winning it. Like somebody who really doesn't give a fuck how they won the title and, you know, that really, if people call them the paper champion, they don't care because they got the belt. You know, it'd have to be like a slimy heel.
Yeah, you're right.
And then if that heel is able to bring some credibility to the belt, then you put the face over the heel and they would still be looked at as a credible champion. But if you go straight to that baby face, they're going to be like, you never beat the real champion.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But we'll see what happens there. So certainly going to be some shaking up in the NXT women's division. And also in the main roster, because wherever Asuka lands, whether it be on the Raw or SmackDown brand, how are they going to play that? I mean, I guess they're going to continue this streak, but are they going to really put her over? I mean, as we said, she doesn't look like the typical female that McMahon tends to put over.
No, you're right. I don't know. I hope they put her over. I think she would actually be very good for it, but like, you're going up against girls like Sasha Banks and, you know, all them. And it's like, you know, I don't know really what they could do with her. Like, you've got a lot of people that are very popular. Like, hell, even I like, I love Bailey. I like Sasha Banks. I like Alexa Bliss. Like, I like all those girls. I actually like Charlotte,
right.
You know, so it's like, it's hard because, you know, I want to see them all succeed, but you know, they're going to start screwing people over and like, you know, just doing crap. And it's like, I don't want to see that for any of them really.
I mean, it's going to present some potential great matches. I mean, you know, like all the women you named could have some sensational matches with Asuka.
Oh, yeah.
We never really saw much of them going against each other in NXT. I know Asuka did face my girl Emma at the takeover they did in England. Mm-hmm. And that was a good match, actually. That was when they
Emma's,
would actually
Emma's another one that's good.
Good, you know, they would let her wrestle matches back then rather than losing in 2 minutes to Nia Jax like they keep doing on Raw.
Yeah. Yeah,
but,
Emma's very good, too. She would easily be a good match for, too. So it's like, but what are you, you know, I just, I don't know. I it pains me to see what they've done to some of these girls.
Right, right. So my concern is, will they be able to put Asuka over at the same, you know, to the same extent that she's been put over on the NXT roster? And I don't think on the main roster they're going to pull it off.
I don't think they can. They got too many.
Right, and they just don't give the girls the time.
No, they don't. It's like, hey, your match is 5 minutes. Go get them, Tiger. It's like, how about a 20-minute match? How about a 50, even just a 15-minute match? It's better than a 5-minute squash match.
I mean, and they keep yelling about that Divas Revolution or Women's Revolution or whatever they've been saying, but the whole thing is that they still, even though they let them wrestle in the gimmick matches that they've been having, like the Money in the Bank and the Hell in the Cell and all the things that they've allowed to the women to perform in that they've never done, they still don't give them the same amount of time as they give them. Let's just be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, no, not even close.
And these really good matches that the women have on NXT is because they give them the time. And every time when we praise these fantastic women matches, you know, like the Sasha Banks Bayley match came from NXT. We praised the Ember Moon and Asuka match from NXT last week. You barely praise what they do on the main roster. I mean, it's enjoyable to a certain extent, but it's never match of the year worth.
No.
You know. So, to me, she's going to have to take a step down a bit going to the main roster.
Yes.
You know, it's just not going to be the same. But
I agree.
We'll see what happens. Now, there's also word that Asuka is injured and like injured her shoulder or collarbone or something in the match with Ember Moon. So she may be out for 6 to 8 weeks as well. But when she does come back, it's going to be the Raw or SmackDown. We don't know which one yet.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully she's not injured. But if she is, it's okay. Let her recover. She deserves it.
And we should see Paige coming back at some point.
Oh, Jesus. Until she fucks up again.
Right. And she's on that last straw. And
she is. Ugh,
fortunate for her, they have taken the charges. Alberto El Patron dropped the charges. So she's no longer in danger of losing her job, at least not at the moment. Until the next stupid thing she does, like you said. But at the moment, she's fine. So we'll see.
Well, yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. Didn't last too long last time.
Yeah, she's another one, rather self-destructive with her.
That's a shame, man.
Yeah, she had quite the upside.
She did. She was doing good for herself, and then I don't know what happened.
She's so young, and she got so young. That was
tough. Yeah, that, and you're right. She is just too young.
And Alberto Del Rio just turned her ass out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
So it was one of those things. So now we'll see. I'm wondering, is there going to be any other call-ups from NXT? I mean, clearly, with Bobby Roode moving to SmackDown, now the main event picture is going to be different. You know, with Drew McIntyre now as your champion, it's clear most likely they're going with this whole Adam Cole and Red Dragon, you know, this whole ROH contingent, and they're going to be the ones going after the championship, obviously, probably Adam Cole,
which right.
would be the seemingly challenger for Drew McIntyre. So we'll see where everything goes. Should be interesting in the world of the WWE in the next several weeks. MTV Video Music Awards is just ending.
Uh-oh.
Katy Perry was a host. Her and Nicki Minaj, they were just performing.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Did I miss anything good? Oh, didn't Tay-Tay's new video premiere?
Yes.
Oh, was it good?
I thought it was.
That song, like, I heard it on the radio and just heard dollar signs. Going cha-ching, 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 cha-ching.
I thought it was a very good video. I mean, like, she like a zombie at one point, and she kind of, you know, her persona, like, digs out of the grave or whatever. And at the end, I think it's really cool because you see all the different looks that she's had all standing together, like little country girl Taylor, and, you know, her different looks throughout the even when she won the MTV Video Music Award, when Kanye got on the stage and all that, like, she's even dressing like that holding the award, and it's kind of cool, like, and all of her different selves are talking to each other and stuff. So I thought the video was very creative and very cool. I actually thought it was enjoyable, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch it. I've only heard the song and was like, this catchy ass shit, man. I was like, this girl's raking in the bankroll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. MTV has, you know, even though they don't really play music videos anymore, but
no.
I hear they've been playing an ad that they're bringing TRL back.
What?
In October. October 2nd, TRL returns.
Okay. So, is it going to be, well, who is that, Adam Carolla?
Adam Kirk.
Adam Kirk, okay.
I would imagine probably not. They'll probably get somebody new.
Probably.
I mean, they didn't really say much about it. Like, they played, what's her face? Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were showing the clips, and then it just says TRL 10-2, and that's it.
Damn.
It's just kind of like a teaser, more or less.
Oh, all right.
Some interesting performances, to say the least. In addition to the said performance from Katy Perry and Nicki Minaj, you also had... interesting performances from what's her face, Miley Cyrus and Demi Lovato. And
Demi Lovato sang the national anthem at the fight last night.
Oh she did.
She looked great too.
Oh yeah, she looks fantastic. Yeah, and see, Demi Lovato was one of those ones that even when she was a little pop tart on Disney Channel, I thought she was really cute even then. And now she's a grown woman, of course. She's just the bomb. She's just really good.
And she did a good job, but she looked really good.
And singing her song, Sorry Not Sorry. What I thought was funny this year, and this is the first time I've actually watched the MTV Awards in its entirety, or pretty close to its entirety.
I haven't watched them in years.
And, you know, I always say how I'm so out of touch with what the kids listen to. But this time... surprisingly, most of these songs, I actually was familiar with a lot of them.
Wow.
I didn't know the artists, but I was familiar with the songs. And, like, when they were singing, I was like, oh, wow, that's who sings that. Because I've been hearing these songs for whatever reason, or however I've heard them. But I'm familiar with much more of it than I have been in previous years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I... There's still songs that I have no idea who sings them. And it's like, but it's nothing like that I really care about because most of it's crap nowadays.
I agree with you there. Most of it is crap nowadays.
Oh, it's so crappy. It's like, ugh.
Just
terrible.
They did give, I guess, one of our generations, Pink, they gave her the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award. And she did like a melody of her songs. That was kind of cool.
I like Pink a lot. I've liked Pink since she came out back, what was it, in the 90s?
90s now, yeah.
Yeah, mid to late 90s she came out. I've liked Pink since she came out. She was like a raver girl back then, back when I was going to raves.
Yeah, so, and she's from Philly, so she's local. Kendrick Lamar seems like he won a lot of awards and stuff, so... I mean, I know most people don't even know half of these fucking people anyway, so he won Video of the Year. He won a lot. It looks like he won like four or five awards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So yeah, he won the most. But it was, I mean, you know, if you catch it, I'm sure you'll be able to catch it at some point.
So yeah, I'll eventually catch everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't that bad. It was kind of entertaining.
Well, that's good.
And of course, they, as always, MTV does not miss the moment to try and throw, you know, some political stuff in there.
BS down your throat, of course.
Yeah. So you did have the mother of the young lady who was murdered in that Charlottesville incident.
Mm-hmm.
She came out and they did some things and people in the audience crying and stuff. I mean, you're gonna get some of that. They also did they had Jared Leto do a tribute to Chester
Bennington
from Linkin Park, and
mm-hmm.
you know, they also mentioned
Chris Cornell. Yeah.
So I mean, you know, you're gonna get some of that, but. For the most part, it's a pretty entertaining, fun ride, and should be pretty enjoyable if you get a chance to watch it. And that's it for us this week.
Indeed it is.
So we want to thank everybody for listening. Remember, log on to TonyLinkShow.com, blogtalkradio.com/TonyLinkShow, and of course, subscribe to the show on iTunes and on Google Play. So, from Maris. I am the truly fabulous Tony Lane, and we will see you next week. You know, there was something else I thought I was
Jerry gonna... Lewis died.
Yes, he did die.
He did die. Jerry's kids, I think, believe he raised $4 billion over the course of all his telethons for Jerry's kids.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. That takes a special someone to dedicate their time to that.
Absolutely. So definitely, condolences to Jerry Lewis, or Jerry Lewis's family. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're sad to Jerry Lewis, too, if he's listening out in the radio waves, since technically you never know.
Yeah.
They could be all tuning in, being like, oh, listen to this.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know.
It's not like someone came back and was like, so this is what happened.
Right. Right. True. So that's it. We'll see you next week.
Think Out Loud, the Tony Lane Show.
What kind of world are we living in that this is considered entertainment?
TonyLaneShow.com.